ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण
रीडिंग फ्रॉम A new chapter, chapter number 9 today, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, text number 1.
Brahma Vacha.
Brahma Vacha.
Nato Simedya Suchirananu. ज्ञातोऽसि मेद सुचिरान्ननु देहभाजा न ज्ञायते भगवतो गतिरित्यवद्यम् नान्यत्वदस्ति भगवन्नपि तन्न शुद्धम् माया गुण व्यतिकराद्य दुरुर्विभासी ब्रह्मोवाच ज्ञातोऽसि मेद्य सुचिरान्ननु देहभाजा न ज्ञायते भगवतो गतिरित्यवद्यम् नान्यत्वदस्ति भगवन्नपि तन्न शुद्धम् माया गुणव्यतिकराद्य दुरुर्विभासि ब्रह्मोवाच ज्ञातोऽसि मेद्य सुचिरान्ननु देहभाजा न ज्ञायते भगवतो गतिरित्यवद्यम् नान्यत्वदस्ति भगवन्नपि तन्न शुद्धम् माया गुणव्यतिकराद्य दुरुर्विभासि
ब्रह्मा उवाच
लॉर्ड
ब्रह्मा सेड
ज्ञातः
नोन
असि
यू आर
मे
बाय मी
अद्य
टुडे
शुचिरात
आफ्टर अ लॉन्ग टाइम
ननु
बट
देहभाजा
ऑफ वन हू हैज अ मटेरियल बॉडी
Na,
not,
Nyayate,
is known,
Bhagavataha,
of the personality of Godhead,
Gatihi,
course,
Iti,
so it is,
Avadyam,
great offense,
Na Anyat,
none beyond,
Twat,
you,
Asti,
there is,
Bhagavan,
O my Lord,
Api,
even though there is,
Tat,
anything that may be,
Na,
never,
Shuddham,
absolute,
Maya,
material energy,
Gunagatikarat,
because of the mixture of the modes of,
Yat,
to which,
Uruhu,
Transcendental.
Vibhasi.
You are. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma said, O my Lord, today, after many, many years of penance, I have come to know about you. Oh, how unfortunate the embodied living entities are that they are unable to know your personality. My Lord, you are the only knowable object because there is nothing supreme beyond you. If there is anything supposedly superior to you, it is not the absolute. You exist as the supreme by exhibiting the creative energy of matter. Purport: the highest peak of the ignorance of the living entities who are conditioned by material bodies is that they are unaware of the supreme cause of the cosmic manifestation. Different people have different theories regarding the supreme cause, but none of them are genuine. The only supreme cause is Vishnu, and the intervening impediment is the illusory energy of the Lord. The Lord has employed His wonderful material energy in manifesting many, many wonderful distractions in the material world, and the conditioned souls, illusioned by the same energy, are thus unable to know the supreme cause. The most stalwart scientists and philosophers, therefore, cannot be accepted as wonderful. They only appear wonderful because they are instruments in the hands of Maya, of the Lord. Under illusion, the gentle mass of people deny the existence of the Supreme Lord and accept the foolish products of illusory energy as supreme. Lord Brahma said, "Oh my Lord, today, after many, many years of penance, I have come to know about you. Oh, how unfortunate the embodied living entities are that they are unable to know your personality. My Lord, you are the only knowable object because there is nothing supreme beyond you. If there is anything supposedly superior to you, it is not the absolute. You exist as the supreme by exhibiting the creative energy of matter." Hare Krishna. Everyone in this world is searching for knowledge and trying to either mitigate or eradicate the ignorance. And that is why people go to school, people go to colleges, people go to universities, people do doctorate degrees. The whole idea is what? To gain more and more knowledge of the world around. And why do we want knowledge of the world around us? So that we will gain better control over it. And once we gain better control over it, then we can dominate and we can exploit and we can enjoy. And this is one reason. Another reason, the more we are ignorant, the more the fear also. And the more we are enlightened, lesser the fear. Just like if this room is pitch dark and you enter into a dark room, you may have fear. There may be some snakes or scorpions in the room. But when the light is on, you can see the path clearly. You have no fear. So, all the knowledge that we acquire in this world is like a small candlelight. Because the candlelight can give little light, but it cannot give a very big light. So, with little light, we can be little peaceful. But the other unlit areas of the room, darkness, they may have snakes and scorpions. So, there is always fear. When we have limited knowledge, we have a great fear. So in this way, we have so many fields of knowledge nowadays. So many fields. Actually, in the Vedic life, if you see, the Jadavidya or material science was not given importance at all. But the vocational training was given importance. Vocational training means, like, practical skill that will help you to earn your livelihood. Say you learned some carpentry, cutting wood and making it into a table or something, furniture. You know, similarly you learn how to sow the seed and develop the garden. You learn. Similarly you learn how to knit some baskets, or how to do drawing. Isn't it? So, these are all practical skills. Vocational training was given. And for that actually you don't have to go to a school. You have to actually work under an expert as an apprentice. That's all. And you work under an apprentice for some period of time, you learn the skill, and once you become skilled, then you are employed in that. Then you earn your livelihood. And the people who will study, who are they? Like the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, sometimes the Vaishyas also, they go to the Gurukula, where they are not taught material science, they are actually taught spiritual science as a prominent subject. But the Kshatriyas, because they are kings and royal family, they need to learn martial arts. So to fight the battle, and different type of martial arts are taught to them, just like the Pandavas were taught. Isn't it? And Vaishyas, because they do trading, farming, cow protection, and culture. This is for the Vaishyas. So it is said, Brahmana flourishes by forgiveness. A Kshatriya flourishes by chivalrous activities. And Vaishya flourishes by cultural, expanding his cultural activities and cow protection. Similarly, Shudra flourishes by loyalty and faithfulness for the pleasure of his master. So there are highlights of different people. And what is the purpose of the training in a Gurukula? And one goes, the Brahmanas are the ones who study the literature, spiritual literatures. The Brahma Vidya, Raja Vidya, we say, that is given to them. And Kshatriyas also learn it, but not for preaching, but for personal spiritual development. Kshatriyas also learn it. But the Brahmanas actually study, assimilate, understand, apply, and see through the eyes of Shastras the world around. And then by traveling to various places, meeting different kinds of people, different cultures, and from one's personal experience, and by the knowledge and experience and wisdom of the superiors, and by study of Shastra, they assimilate and they deepen their understanding of the spiritual truths, and then they give it back for the welfare of the people in general. So, in this way, if at all there was some material knowledge that was taught, and that also had a definite purpose. Like for example, the martial arts and everything which Kshatriyas learnt, that was to uphold the Shastric injunctions in the lives of people. Like for example, every man should treat a woman like a mother. But if somebody would mistreat a woman, then you need to know how to punish him. Isn't it? Similarly, you know, one should be satisfied with one's own property and not steal someone else's property. If somebody steals, then what to do? Then you need to know how to punish. People have a tendency to, you know, loot, I mean to conquer the neighborhood states or countries. So naturally you need to have defense to protect the praja, to protect the people. So then there is a definite purpose for that. In the Vedic life, you never hear people learning some subjects and learning some knowledge for filling up their belly. You never hear that actually. In fact, there was a barter system. You have some talent and another fellow has some talent, you just exchange. So, the knowledge, here he's talking about, in the first paragraph, Prabhupada is talking about the peak of ignorance of the living entities who are conditioned by material bodies is that they are unaware of the supreme cause of the cosmic manifestation. You see? So, there are three types of motivations in acquiring knowledge. You see, the lowest motivation for acquiring knowledge about God, about anything in life, is to fill up my belly and enjoy my senses. This is called as a Shudra. You know, it is It's actually the low class motivation, which most people are aspiring for in the modern times. You ask any college going boy, why do you go to college? To earn a degree. Why do you want a degree? To fetch a good job. Why do you want a job? So I can earn good money. And why do you want money? To fill up my belly. Isn't it? And enjoy my senses. Actually, you will rarely find nowadays students who have some thrill in the subjects, who appreciate the subject or who study for the sake of study, learning something new. That inquisitiveness in subjects is going down. Most people, like somebody does, chemical engineering and they are sitting in a software job, isn't it? Nothing to do with chemicals. So, it's very apparent. Anybody can understand why people are going to college. Nowadays, any job that can fetch me maximum money, people are ready to go for it. So, it's a very low class, lowest level motivation. Higher than that is one who acquires some talent or knowledge for showing off. Like for example, an artist, he wants to draw a very beautiful picture. He may even spend 5,000 rupees. If one of his friends says, this picture is so beautiful, he may even gift it to him. Take it. It's my picture. Let me sign and give you. Go and show to everyone in the world that I drew it. You can display it in your office for all people to see my glory. So, these are people in passion who do any work in this world or who acquire knowledge for what? For showing off to others. They delight in doing the work. They get a thrill. So much so that, it appears that this is life. This is life. There is nothing beyond. Just like some scientists, they go into laboratory and they work all life without knowing actually what is outside the laboratory. Some people never come out of the laboratory. All their life they spend. So, in this way, the artists who are doing a drawing for 16 hours, 20 hours also at a stretch without even sleeping. You go to offices, sometimes you find people, bring a small lunch box and that too they don't eat also. All day they work sometimes. So some people, they derive some delight in doing a certain type of work, they get intoxicated in it, to get some name and fame, some glory. So acquiring knowledge to promote oneself is actually what? A mode of passion. Mode of goodness, they acquire knowledge, and they also do work, but they are supposed to be aware. They're supposed to be aware that actually, all the work I do in this world, it will come to an end. Just like a child is making a sandcastle near a ocean beach. Once the mother, father are calling the child, enough now, come now, we are going home. Then he will leave everything and go, and the ocean waves may come and demolish the so-called sandcastle. Isn't it? Similarly, any work you may do in this world, it comes to a halt. You cannot continue. Bhagavan Saraswati has given a very beautiful example for this. He says, this material world is a place of envy and rivalry. You see, you will find that many great kings in this world, they are envied by their subordinates. The subordinates try to acquire the position of a king. Sometimes you find Aurangzeb, he killed his own brothers and put his father in the prison. Sometimes, like you see, Bharat's mother Kaikeyi wanted him to become the king in the place of Ram. So there is always envy by subordinates to acquire that kind of position. Because that position brings lot of name, fame, glory, privileges. People are mad for it. How nice it will be if I can be in that position. I can be the apple of eye of everybody. Sometimes people lament that I do everything and this king gets all the credit. So, subordinates envy. And at the same time, the king also has a rivalry with his other opponents, the neighborhood kingdoms. They are constantly plotting how to usurp this fellow's position and drive him away and take over the kingdom. That kind of rivalry also is there. So, material world is not a peaceful place. In fact, even Indra is sitting in the heaven. He may be enjoying the Nandanandana garden, sitting on the Indra Loka. Even he cannot be peaceful. You see, there is a very beautiful description given about the heavenly pleasures here. See what it is said. Having achieved the heavenly planets, the performer of ritualistic sacrifices travels in a glowing airplane, which he obtains as a result of his piety on earth, being glorified by songs sung by the Gandharvas and dressed in wonderfully charming clothes. He enjoys life surrounded by heavenly goddesses. Accompanied by heavenly women, the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice goes on pleasure ride in a wonderful airplane, decorated with circles of tinkling bells. It seems the aeroplane is having tinkling bell also. And this aeroplane flies wherever he desires. I thought first when I heard the tinkling bell, I thought it's woman's tinkling bell. Now aeroplane is also having tinkling bell. So the aeroplane flies wherever he desires. Being relaxed, comfortable and happy in the heavenly pleasure gardens, he does not consider that he is exhausting the fruits of his piety and will soon fall down to the mortal world. Like that he is saying. So this is the description about the heaven. And then here Bhaktisiddhanta has this beautiful commentary. Here he is saying, the material happiness of which we hear, such as promotion to heavens, for celestial enjoyment and all these things. He says, these are all polluted by jealousy, envy, decay and death. So he is giving a nice example. He is saying, if a man has an agricultural field, he may sow a seed in the ground. But sometimes, when he sows a seed, there may be defect in the seed, because of which the seed may never grow. Or sometimes the soil is too salty, due to which the seed doesn't grow. Or the land is barren, then it may not grow also. Or sometimes you sow a seed, there is a drought or a plague, because of which, due to drought, everything, all the land is parched, dry. Like, you know, in India also once the rains didn't come, one of the years. So, you know, people lost all the, yield. Or you say sometimes there may be excessive rain, or there may be excessive heat out of season sometimes. If there is excessive rain, you know, here in, near this, when we were going to see a land, near some of the villages, you know, the grain had come also. But the rains came in off-season, isn't it? Because of which they, you know, they spoiled all the crops and lot of crops went waste. So, getting the yield is not an easy thing. He's saying there will be heat out of season. And if there are disturbances caused by animals, birds and insects, some goat may come and eat. Sometimes you put a fence, sometimes some animals cross the fence also and come. Sometimes the elephant, you know, with his head, he completely dismantles the fence, comes inside and spoils the whole field. Or there are small and big insects, it spoil all the crops. So then agricultural activities will not yield the desired harvest. Similarly, he is saying, those who are expert in analyzing the material world see that the heavenly situation are not basically different from the life on earth. Because there also inevitably there will be jealousy as one becomes distinguished as superior and another becomes inferior. See, whole material world is made up of inferior and superior people. Somebody is subordinate, somebody is superior, like that. So because of that, what happens, he says, there is jealousy. Jealousy is very lousy. By the power of time, these positions are reversed and therefore violence and intrigue disturb life even on the heavenly planets. That means, you know, there is violence, means there is fight. Like, you know, asuras go to the material world. The asuras go to the heavenly planets and they drive out Indra and these people. You know, it happened. Who did that? Bali Maharaj. Yeah. And Indra lost his post. That was one occasion. Another occasion, when Hiranyakashipu was raising his hands and heavy, high heat, then they had to leave the planets, flying here and there. Huh? They could not be peaceful. Yeah. Which means even in heavens, one cannot be peaceful. So if you read the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that this material world is Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. Then Arjuna might probably ask a question, what about heavens, Krishna? Maybe I can go there and be peaceful. Then he says, Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka, Punaravartino Arjuna. Even if you go to Brahma Loka, you will come back here, Arjuna. Or if you say that I won't come back, I will stay there for a long time. Then he says, Mama Petitu Punajanma. Then he says that even if you reside in heavens, it's not a peaceful place. And your count will go down, punya count, then you'll come down, naturally. So, in this material world, there is no place where one can relax in peace. Although, in the other verse I read just now, it says comfortably riding in the plane. You heard that? You are saying that point, you know? Relaxed, comfortable and happy in the heavenly pleasure gardens. But the relaxed, comfortable, happy is only for a short while. He says. And then he says, so, attempt to promote oneself to the heavenly planets is itself full of problems and disturbances. Vaikuntha is transcendental to the limitations and disturbances imposed by laws of material nature in this world. So, the purpose of knowledge is happiness. That's the goal of pursuit of knowledge. Why we acquire knowledge? Because we want to become happy. You ask even a materialist, why are you acquiring knowledge? Ultimately, through the knowledge, we want to have more influence over people and things, and then we can be more happy. But generally, as explained in this verse, your material outlook makes a person think that if I have more knowledge, I can acquire more products for my enjoyment. Here, Brahma is condemning that products of enjoyment in this purport, you will see. He says all the material products of this material world are displays of illusory energy, Maya Shakti. Even before acquiring products, we can talk a few minutes about the nature around us. Like you see, when people look at the beauty of nature around, like the beautiful oceans, the Grand Canyon, and the breathtaking snow-capped Himalayan mountains, and or the beauty of the rising sun, or the beauty of the setting sun in Kanyakumari. Isn't it? So people go to see these beauties. There are some people who appreciate the beautiful forests and the valleys of Lonavala, which is very familiar to all of you. You can't escape it when you go to Bombay. Isn't it? Or some people go to see the other natural beauties in different places. So one class of people, they appreciate the beauty of nature without reference to God. They appreciate only the beauty of nature without appreciating the artist of nature, the creator of nature. And some people go one step ahead. Not that they just forget the artist, but they deny the artist who has created this beautiful world. They say this nature is everything. There is nothing beyond. Don't think it is only some modern scientists and philosophers. Even the Jaimini, the philosophy of Karma Mimamsa, to put it in very simple terms, what it says, if you do punya, you will get happiness. If you do pap, you will get suffering. So there is no need to attain moksha at all from this world, because this world is everything. Because you just do punya, go to heaven, enjoy life, exhaust your punya, then when you come here on earth, again do punya. Because you know, God is completely bound to give you the results of your good and bad karma. So, don't do bad karma only, he says. Do only good karma. Then God will be forced to give you only good. So, be good here, be good, do good, enjoy life here, and then enjoy life in heaven, again enjoy life on earth, enjoy life in heaven. In this way, keep going. So enjoy the heavenly beauties and enjoy the earthly beauties, but do it in a regulated way, which is within regulated and authorized sense gratification, as you say. But if you do unregulated, unauthorized sense gratification, then you will go to hell. isn't it? So don't do that. Keep it within regulated limits. And this is the ultimate goal of life according to the Jaimini. You don't have to go beyond this world by following the path of Nivritti Marga. Follow the path of Pravritti Marga. That is Jaimini's philosophy. So it appears very attractive. But there are many mistakes and fallacies in this theory. One mistake is explained in the Vedanta Sutra. The mistake says that God is not bound to give you the fruits of your karma. God can change your karma also. God has the ability to change your karma. So, it's not like the demigods. Demigods are bound to give you the fruits of your karma. But God is himself not bound by karma. Namam karmani limpanti, Krishna says. Name karma phale spruha, he says. That is one first mistake. Second mistake is what? You may say, I will always do only good. But sometimes even a person who is always doing good can fall prey to bad while living in this world. Because this world has so many allurements. Even a so-called regulated person can sometimes become unregulated. Even a person following the authorized laws of the scriptures can fall prey to temptations and allurements in this world. And one may commit sin. Even if one escapes sin, you know, while walking on the road, we put our foot on ants, isn't it? While using a pestle, grinding mortar, we kill unknowingly so many living entities. That is called as panchasuna, we call it. Five kinds of pap that comes from litting fire and throwing out water from a pitcher, or while walking on the road and all that. There are five types of sins. So, actually no one can completely escape from sin in this world. So that is why Veda Vada Rata Partha Na Nanya Dasti Iti Vadinaha, Krishna says. About these people only he is saying. They are foolish people. Because they are trying to become happy on earth or on heaven and continuing the cycle of birth and death, thinking this happiness to be the ultimate. Now these people could be considered in par with the modern day materialists. Because modern day materialists are one step lower than these fellows. At least these fellows want to follow the Vedic injunctions to do the right thing and go to heaven and enjoy and come back and enjoy. But the modern day people don't even care what is right, what is wrong. But they are trying to acquire some, you know, products of material energy. Like all these electronic gadgets and facilities and luxuries. Thinking that this is all, this is enjoyment. So, I was telling you that some people look at the nature, but in enjoying the beauty of nature, they forget God. But some people look at nature and they enjoy the beauty, but they deny God. They don't see the hand of God at all, the hand of a living person who has created all these beauties. Now, there are some people who look at the nature and they say they are so humanistic that they say that, you know, this nature itself is so mad. Because it brings forth so many dangers, like earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis. So they fear nature as something very ghastly. Because they have no idea of what is this nature or who is behind it. They are just bewildered and confused when they see the nature. They have no idea. And they don't know the source at all. Because when you look at the sky, you don't even know where the sky ends. You don't know this, you know. Even from a material point of view, scientists cannot tell you where the sky is ending. Isn't it? Even scientists try to find out why the sky is blue. Why not it be red? Or why not it be yellow or some other color? There was a very big research in the field of science. Then they came up with Rayleigh scattering. Isn't it? So there are Vibgayar, the different colors. You know, violet, indigo, blue and all that. Isn't it? So, out of that, blue is reflected. So, there is a Rayleigh scattering theory. So, Prabhupada, the sky is blue because Krishna is blue. Brahma Jyoti is coming from Krishna's body and it is expanding, it's reflecting in the sky as blue. So, there's a transcendental explanation. So, you know, they are trying to speculate about the limits of the sky. They are still researching. Similarly, they are speculating about the origin of universe. where is this universe coming from? Where is the nature coming from? So here he's talking about that. And in speculation, what is it like? There is an example given in Bhagavatam. The speculation is like beating an empty husk. Nanyat yatha stula tushava gatinam, he says. Like, you know, in villages, they beat the husk and they take out the rice. And then they throw away the husk. And that is lying in another corner. But imagine if somebody comes later after all the husk is removed. Then you take the husk and keep on beating. Will you get any rice? So speculation is like that. You will never be able to arrive at the truth with speculation. So there is one full verse which gives very beautiful examples of this type of speculation. I'll just try to get that very interesting verse. Yeah, see here. It's a very nice verse. This is 11:11:19. He's saying, Gam dugdatoham asatim cha bharyam deham paradinam asat prajamcha vittam tvatirti kritamanga vacham hinam maya rakshati dukkha dukkhi. He's saying, for example, if a cow is tied to a pole, somebody has milked the cow and gone away. And every day somebody comes and takes the milk and gone. Then maintaining that cow, which doesn't give any milk. Like that he is giving examples. See, here he is giving the example of a milk cow. It's significant. When a cow becomes sterile, no longer gives milk. See, this is a very deep example, these two examples. He's saying, when you maintain a... See, for example, if a cow stops giving milk, should a man maintain it or not? You have to maintain it, is it not? But here he is giving another deep explanation. A cow becomes sterile and no longer gives milk. But one must engage in laborious task of protecting her, since no one will purchase a useless cow. For some time the greedy owner of a sterile cow may continue thinking, I have already invested so much money in taking care of this cow. And certainly in the near future she will again become pregnant and give milk. But when this hope is proven futile, he becomes neglectful and indifferent to the health and safety of the animal. Which means sometimes a farmer keeps on feeding a cow for 2, 3, 4 years and she doesn't give any baby, any calf. Then he doesn't feed her anymore. Either allows her to starve and die, which is sinful. Or sometimes he allows the cow to wander here and there in the road. So the cow may die in an accident in a train. Or somebody may catch the cow and take the cow for a slaughterhouse and all that. So he is not concerned about the safety. Because of such sinful neglect, he must suffer in the next life, after having already suffered because of the sterile cow in the present life. So two sufferings are there. One suffering is he spent lot of time in maintaining the sterile cow with the greedy expectation of getting milk. And in the next life, he again suffers for what? Because of having done the next. Similarly, the jnanis who speculate, now they spend lot of time in speculative endeavor. So that much amount of time is wasted, energy is wasted. So the only result they get is, like, you know, they take their mind and beat it like empty husk. So at the end of which, what is the result they get? Nothing. So because of not getting any result, they again suffer. So one suffering comes by hitting empty husk. Another suffering comes by not getting grains, he's saying. So two endeavors. So Bhagavatam Brahmaji tells him on that prayer, you know, a person who is a speculator, you know, after a long time of beating the empty husk, he gets one thing. What is that? The useless labor that he did. That's the only fruit he gets, he says. Similarly, one more example he gives here. A man may discover that his wife is neither chaste nor affectionate. See, she is not chaste, so naturally she will be not affectionate, because she is affectionate to somebody else. He may be so eager to get children that he goes on taking care of such a useless wife, thinking, I will teach my wife the religious duties of a chaste woman. By hearing historical examples of great women surely her heart will change and she will become a wonderful wife to me. Unfortunately, the unchaste wife in many cases does not change and also gives the man many useless children who are just as foolish and as irreligious as she. Such children never give any happiness to the father, yet the father tediously labors to take care of them. Understand, no? Understand? So he is saying that if a man's wife is unchaste, she also is unaffectionate. At the same time, he is saying that she produces children who are also like her, expansions of her only. And maintaining those children, that's what is, the word is used, what is the word used here? Asat prajamcha. Asat praja. Similarly, now what happens with him? He is hoping that she is going to change. In that hope, he is spending a lot of time and energy. Correct? In trying to preach to her and trying to tell her the glories of Atri, Anasuya, you know, Sita. And even while, you know, hearing all the glories of this great woman, she is looking through the window to run away with a paramour. Like that. So, it's useless to preach to her. So, a jnani's effort to understand God by the speculation is like that only. He's saying. Now, and also she begets 4 or 5 children who are all like her only. You know, they're asat prajamcha, he says. And then, maintaining those children, hoping again that they will become wonderful in future. But eventually what happens? They climb on his head and create more trouble. Like that. So, now he is endeavoring. Lot of time is gone. And the end of that endeavor, he doesn't get result. Again, he has suffering, he says. So, very powerful examples in Bhagavatam, you see. So, the jnani's efforts are like this, he is saying. The speculator's efforts. It's a very beautiful verse. Atapite deva padambujadvaya prasada lesha nugruhita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno Nachanyame kopichiram bichinvan Shreya shrutim bhakti mudasyate vibho Klishyanti ye kevalabodha labdhaye Teshamasau kleshalaye vashishyate Nanyat yata stula tushavagati nam. That he says. Kleshalaye vashishyate. All he gets is only kleshala, he says. Suffering by beating them. He has only his hands are paining. So, in this way, speculating about God, we will arrive nowhere. Like even Brahmaji, the dawn of creation, was watching the world around. All he saw was only darkness, you know. Yeah. And then he came down the stem and he stood right on the navel of Vishnu. And from there he saw, how amazing it is. He's standing on the navel of Vishnu and he couldn't see the chest of Vishnu, face of Vishnu, lotus feet of Vishnu. He couldn't see anything. It's like somebody somehow, you know, came to MG Road, you know, to watch the woman passing by. Somehow. And somehow while coming here, they stranded and they got into this number 4 Tarapur Road. ISKCON temple. Somehow they came here. Some people come like that. Is there a doctor here? They say, and they get into the temple hall. You know? Because they come to see one doctor, no? Yeah. They come into the temple and he's standing right in front of Kunjabihari looking here and there. Isn't it? But still he cannot understand who is this personality. Although Sakshat Krishna is standing here, you see. Radha and Krishna are here. But he may be stranded here, but he has not performed his homework to get the right kind of eyes to see him. And what is that homework? What is it? Penance. That is explained here. That was what Brahma had to do also. Brahma was standing on the navel of Vishnu, and watching here and there, he couldn't see Vishnu because Vishnu did not give him the eyes to see. So, then again he climbed up on the stem and he went and sat in the lotus again. Again darkness everywhere. But he heard Akashavani that you perform tapa. So, when he heard that instruction, then he performed penance. The penance actually elevated him, purified him, gave him the vision to see. Then he is seeing Vishnu now, you see. He got the knowledge now, fully. Full knowledge is revealed by Lord Krishna to him directly. And he is actually son of Krishna directly. He is son of Lord Vishnu. So, Lord is revealing this knowledge to him. That is why you will often find in spiritual life, it is not a scholarly exercise. It is not like, you know, one thing is to know the shlokas, or to know the examples, know the stories, you know, or somebody may proudly say, you know, you put me in the Vyasasana, I can speak for 5 hours. I have seen devotees speaking like this. Actually, it is not a question of how many hours you can speak, but what is your realization? And also, sometimes you should not become fascinated by seeing people who speak very wonderfully. Because in this world, somebody may be endowed with the ability to speak very wonderful things. What to speak of speaking? Even realizations can be purchased and repeated. It is not very difficult. You may Google search you put now, you get realization of so many great personalities you get nowadays. Yeah. Nowadays even an average boy, any boy can put a search, get this Maharaj said that Maharaj said it, you get everything together, put in one place and give a presentation, explosive presentation. Yeah. So, it's very dangerous for us to get into that trap. Because our personal faith in what we speak is the most vital thing for us. Most important thing. Because in spiritual life, the purpose of acquiring knowledge is to increase our faith. Two things Rupa Goswami says, you know, knowledge and faith. Why do we want knowledge? See, for example, if a boy is told, hey, mother and father are telling him, beta, now you are in America, you come back to India, you know, we have arranged a girl for you, you are going to get married. You know. At least you'll be a little curious to know. At least please tell me what is her name. Please send me a photo of her. You know. Please tell me, is she educated or uneducated? You know, what is, at least some details he wants to know more. Is it not true? Because unless you know more about the person, you cannot develop affection, attraction, everything. Is it not true? So in the same manner, why we want to know about Krishna? The more we know, a devotee's heart becomes eager to know about Krishna, to develop more love for him. That is actually the purpose. There is no other purpose of knowledge. The purpose of acquiring knowledge to enhance our devotion to Krishna, enhance our surrender. And that is most important. Developing that type of faith. So here we find Brahma, he became enlightened. You see, when Dhruva Maharaj, Lord Vishnu kept his shank on his head, he says, my dear Lord, all my senses have become enlivened by your transcendental touch with the transcendental conch. Isn't it? See, generally conch is used for blowing. In the morning when Pujari blows the conch, it's auspicious. It spreads the sound, auspicious sound everywhere. Then all the people come running and they take darshan. Isn't it? So, Lord Vishnu could have blown his auspicious conch and told Dhruva, I am here, take my darshan. But Lord touched Dhruva's head to make him speak out auspicious verses from his mouth. And when he spoke, at that time Dhruva said, all my senses have become enlivened by your touch. Especially my tongue, he said. My tongue has become empowered by you. And now I am reciting these verses, although I am a 5-year-old boy. I have actually no qualification. But you have empowered me to glorify you. So, in this way, you know, Dhruva, who was not only unenlightened, but who was also very envious of his stepmother, angry with his stepmother. It's actually, you know, material qualities. He was actually afflicted by those material qualities. But then after seeing Lord Vishnu, you can see how much he became elevated. So, why? Because he performed penance. That Prabhupada is saying here, you see. Second paragraph is saying, one can know the supreme cause, the personality of Godhead, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, which is bestowed upon Lord's pure devotees like Brahma and those in his disciplic succession. Like all of us, we are also in Brahma's disciplic succession. By acts of penance only was Lord Brahma able to see the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And by realization only could he understand the Lord as he is. Which means by penance only you can realize the Lord as he is. Brahma was extremely satisfied upon observing the magnificent beauty and opulence of the Lord. And he admitted that nothing can be comparable to him. Only by penances can one appreciate the beauty and opulence of the Lord. And when one is acquainted with that beauty and opulence, he is no longer attracted by any other. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Param Dushtvani Vartade. You see, we come in front of Radha Kunja Bihari, the supreme lordships, but we will not be able to appreciate their beauty without having done our homework of penance. Without having done the penance. Because what is that penance? The penance is actually that which is performed for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Yajna vai Vishnu. Now the penance should be prescribed. You can read the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Dravya yajna tapo yajna yoga yajna tatapare. He says, there are many types of yajnas you can do. Like you have a dravya God has given you. You take the dravya and give it to others in charity. Say danya you got, you can give away danya. Somebody can give away cloth. For somebody may give away some cash. You can give those things to others. Then there is also yoga yajna. Then there is a jnana yajna also. People conduct jnana yajna samarohanda. Where you take the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and you study and you purify your intelligence with that. Isn't it? Amongst all the different types of offering oneself to the Lord's body, mind and words offering. So when one offers according to the direction given by the Lord, like Brahma for example was told, you do tapasya, perform meditation. And for 100 celestial years he performed severe meditation. Similarly, we are chanting, Prabhupada said, penance for us in our society is chanting. If somebody wants to know whether I am advancing or not, we have to check the barometer of our spiritual life. What is it? The chanting of the holy name. So I read in one of the chanting books that if I am chanting thinking that let me complete my chanting now and run immediately to do something, that is low class chanting, very low quality chanting. You know, sometimes you see people like athletes, you know, they keep their hand like this, like running. Some people are like that the last round when they are doing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, immediately run like this, you know. You've seen that, You know, when they have 5 minutes, 7:20 they have finished, right? So 10 minutes they want to do something. Immediately go, immediately open the mail and download the mail or something, you know. You see? So this kind of chanting will not do. Will this penance be pleasing to Krishna? You are running away from Krishna, then why should Krishna show you darshan? Ask yourself. If somebody is running away from Krishna. Actually, we should be running towards Krishna if you want to see him. If you are running away from Krishna, then Krishna will say, okay, it seems that you are very busy, my dear friend. Okay, take some more lifetimes. Do whatever. Jo bhi karna hai, kar lo, baad mein aao. Is it not true? He will send you away. Go and do everything. Which means, in this world, if we have something else to do, other than, you know, simply sitting at the lotus feet of Krishna, and admiring his beauty, and admiring his glory, and serving him, if you are thinking, I have something else to do, then Krishna allows you to do that something else. Yeah, we can roam around, go run here and there. Yeah. So our penance should mature. Like you have seen this, sometimes you have this guava fruit, you know, amrud is called it, no? Yeah. Peru. So when it is very nicely ripe, it's yellowish in color, isn't it? You go to a peru tree, comes out immediately. You take it easily comes out because it is ripe. When it is green, taste also is not very good. You bite it, it's very difficult to bite also. And taking out of the tree is very difficult. You know, you just rotate it like this, you know, several times and you've seen that. Similarly, a new person, you know, to engage him in spiritual life, it's very tough. He wants to do everything other than chanting. Like I gave one lecture in one big seminar hall, some 300 people attended. Any questions I asked, one person raised. Sir, can you tell us some idea how to control the mind? He asked. I said, just now I told you, my whole lecture was on that only. Art of mind control. You have to chant. Then another person raised hand. I asked, what's your question? Sir, can you tell us something other than chanting? You know, for controlling the mind. I said, why do you want another method? Why don't you take this method? Then we were thinking, if there's another method, it'll be more easy. So, this is what the living entity wants to do. And living entity wants everything other than Krishna only. So, that is why, then you have to rotate. Then you have to Detaching them is very tough from the material world, because they get juice from material energy. They are thinking that this world is purposeful, this glittering, like last class we were discussing on this, nanatvad vinivartate, isn't it? This world is called nanatvad, means what? Material variety. Makes a lot of sense for them, because actually even to a so-called devotee, this material world can make a lot of sense. So-called devotee means who has not yet done the homework properly. Which means, you know, he has not done sufficient penance to purify his heart. When heart is not clean, then material world will appear attractive. Because the material world will appear to be everything. You know, it appears in the forefront, presenting all its allurements and attractions. One can become bewildered by seeing it. Of course, even a very advanced pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, you know, would refrain from associating with material energy unnecessarily. Like Prabhupada went to this Avalon ballroom. The program was arranged by Shyam Sundar Prabhu, you know. So in the night, almost late night, about 9 o'clock or so, you know, two devotees on either side of Prabhupada, you know, Kirtanand Swami on one side, and that time Kirtanand Swami was a young boy. He was not sannyasi. Kirtananda on one side, and on the other side, I think it was, who's that fellow? Ranchod. So these two people took, and Prabhupada entered the Avalon ballroom inside, and all hippies were stoned with drugs. And the whole atmosphere was so passionate. The colorful, you know, strobe lights on the pathway in the aisles, and the stage also. Nowadays they have the zap music, they call it, no? In those days, similarly, they had the raucous music going on the stage. Very passionate atmosphere. And you will find young boys and girls coming in cars, looking for partners, taking the partners and going to different places. Everybody dressed up in a very glamorous way. It's not a good place to go. So Prabhupada was taken there, because amongst Prabhupada disciples there was argument. One group of disciples said, Swamiji is willing to go anywhere to preach, wherever there are youths. So let us take him. And another group of disciples, they said, No, Prabhupada is a sannyasi, he is a pure devotee from Vrindavan. You know, if he comes to this place, he will be unhappy. We should not take. So there was argumentation between the two. Went on for a long time. And finally, everybody decided, okay, we will take Prabhupada. So Prabhupada went to the stage and saw these hippies. Some of them were in semi-state of consciousness. Some of them. And the rock music, they were moving their bodies to the rock music. And then Prabhupada told this Allen Ginsberg to speak for some time and sing, and then Prabhupada sang. When Prabhupada sang, he took that. And Hare Krishna, when he sang, it became so intense. At one time, the Prabhupada's body was profusely sweating. And his whole hands and body were trembling. And as he went faster and faster, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So some of the disciples became afraid. They said, Swamiji is an old man, and his body is trembling, we should not exert him so much. Please end the program. And then of course they ended the program, and a lot of hippies were surrounding, and immediately Prabhupada went through the aisles and came out. And he turned around and said, this is no place for a brahmachari, he said. But still, Prabhupada came there out of his casteless mercy. So, this is an example of glittering illusion of the West. And now in the East also, there is no difference between West and East now much. Indians are becoming westernized Indians now. All the MNCs have brought their, you know, Western culture like a shadow along with them. India is as westernized as West, or probably even more, we can say. Now Indians will teach Americans how to become more degraded. Because Indians are expert in many things, they can teach them. Americans are going to faint now, seeing the Indians. So, you know, it's a great misfortune for a conditioned soul if he is not introduced to Krishna consciousness in time. Because when a person is growing, before the teenage comes, if one gets some good sanskaras and gets some higher taste, in teenage, One is living in a dream world. It is simply a dream world, all imaginary world. And then when one gets some frustration, then one will turn back to God again. If one got some higher taste. Otherwise, nowadays teenage kids are going for drug addiction, they are going for smoking and drinking and committing suicide. Yeah, it's very dangerous situation. So, there is an example given by Narada, the sixth canto. There is a hole into which if someone goes, they never come out. That is an example. That has a double meaning. One meaning is that material world is like a place. If somebody comes into this world, it is very difficult to go back to Godhead. Because, you know, one gets so thoroughly stuck in the muck. One becomes so thoroughly stuck in the dirty material world. They keep trying, just like the monkey who got stuck in that dumber. Dumber, you call it? Dumber? Dumber, dumber, yeah. There is a dumber tin kept below a tree, isn't it? So the monkey, when he thought some juice or something is kept. He thought, black juice, it is shining. So he sat on the top of the tin and put one hand down to see how it is tasting. But the hand never came out. Hand got stuck. You seen that? Any of you tried it? At least you must have seen others trying. If you touch it, it sticks. Then he got frightened. I think they have put a trap to catch me or something. Then he tried to take out by another hand. So in this way, this hand, leg and belly, everything got caught there. So, the material world is like that. One gets stuck in this world. So, another meaning is, that hole into which one goes, one never comes back, is also spiritual world. If you go to spiritual world, you'll never come back. Yad gatva nanivartante. But only thing is to knock out the living entity from material orbit and put him in spiritual orbit. That is the greatest challenge. Because our mind is such that you habituate the mind to something bad, it keeps on going in the direction. And you habituate the mind to good things, it keeps on doing good things. So somebody who is above, whose hands and legs are unbound, and they have to pick us up from the, you know, perpetual engagement in wrong habits and put us in perpetual engagement in right habits. Like right now, for example, it's almost like by default, everybody gets up in the morning, run, take a bath, come for Mangalarti, dance. Your consciousness can slowly come later, no problem. At least body is coming now. Let the body come first. Is it? That is the advantage of good habits. At least the body we are giving. Slowly we will give. And Krishna is so kind, whatever you give, he accepts. That is his greatness. You know, you see, sometimes we are so proud, I am so Krishna conscious. One great Acharya is saying, what have I offered you, my dear Lord? This body is called as Vyadi Mandiram. It is full of so many diseases. I am offering this body to you. What is so great about it? And I am offering you my mind, which is having depression and inferiority complex, superiority complex, and lust and greed and pride and envy, anger, illusion, greed, everything. And I am thinking I am giving this mind to you. And my intelligence is first class whimsical intelligence. It exactly does what you tell him not to do. It exactly doesn't want to do what is the right thing that you are told to do. And I am offering that intelligence to you. You see? And adding to that, I have my big, big false ego. For nothing I am proud. And what is my memory? If you see, nowadays people sometimes put all the files in one folder and they forget the name of the folder. And that is our memory. You know? How do you think? Nobody should know. I'll put a password. Secret password. You don't know what the password is. So, this is our condition. But the amazing thing in Kali Yuga is still people are proud of themselves. Proud for what? Proud for nothing. You see? So amazing. Kali Yuga it is. Very. So, that is why the first quality is amanitvam. Adambitvam. Manitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantirajvam. He says, one requires humility and pridelessness to approach Krishna. To be knocked out from the material allurements and come to the path of spiritual life. So Brahma is actually feeling sorry for all the living entities. When? After having achieved the realization. Which means, actually, we don't feel sorry about our own sufferings. How miraculous it is, you see. See, that is why the first step in spiritual life is to understand that I am suffering. And then to feel pity for oneself, that I am in a suffering situation. Like I asked one Mataji while interviewing, why do you appreciate Krishna consciousness? Why do you want to be initiated? So she said, oh, this world is so horrible. She said, I want to get out of this world of cycle of birth and death. This is a very good understanding for a beginner. Somebody is beginning. At least one should know that there is suffering. In fact, you will find the suffering in this world is not occasional. It is not punctuated by suffering. It's actually, Bhagavatam says, either in this world there is suffering or mixed happiness, it says. Mixed happiness means happiness with suffering mixed. In one capsule it is given. From womb to tomb, there is suffering. So, recognizing that this is a world of suffering. And knowing that I am suffering also. And I want to get out of it. And situation, I mean, seated in this metal body is not a very comfortable thing. What is it verse? Yantra arudhani mayaya. It says, you know, Brahmayan. Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra arudhani mayaya. I am roaming in this world, seated in this material body made of material elements, and it gives a lot of suffering. So, perceiving suffering, that's why you see Buddha also, when he perceived suffering, then he got bodh, atma bodh. Then he went to the bodhi tree, then he became Buddha, the enlightened one. When there is understanding of the suffering, that is one of the first steps, because from that comes detachment. And once the detachment is there, then one can peacefully focus on spiritual life. See in the 15th chapter of Purushottam Yoga, what he says? Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. He says, you cut off this upside down tree of illusion. So Brahma is saying, Krishna, you are the absolute truth and there is nothing better than you. But if some living entities ignore you and consider the other objects of this world to be better than you, what is the meaning of that? That means they are in illusion. That's the meaning. Krishna is Vastava Vastu. Not understanding that all foolish living beings are chasing here and there, he's saying. So he's feeling very sorry for them. Actually, only an elevated soul can feel sorry and feel compassion for the suffering souls. Otherwise, you know, if you don't know we are suffering, first of all, we don't feel sorry for ourselves only. How can you feel sorry for the other suffering souls? How will you want to give them Krishna, unless you feel sorry for their sufferings? One should take pity. Not only the poor people are suffering, even the millionaires are suffering. Probably the millionaires are suffering more. Because you will see poor beggars rarely commit suicide. Have you ever heard it in newspaper? One fellow was a beggar, he didn't get food, so he committed suicide. But all rich kids are committing suicide, you're fine. So, everybody is suffering in this world, you know. The coolie in the street and executive in the skyscraper building. From the millionaire to the pauper. So the metal body means suffering. So that's the first step. Then one can, now you will find Brahma as he proceeds in this chapter, 15th chapter, he is going to tell about the kingdom of God. A very beautiful chapter. Again there he will lament. He will say there, my dear demigods, you are so foolish. You know, you are worrying about the temporary problem of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. These fellows are going to be born. Now there is a blackish smoke in the sky. Because they are going to appear now. These fellows are such dangerous fellows that even before they came out of their mother's womb, there was a black smoke in the sky. Can you imagine? When they came out, you can imagine what they would do. And we also know what they did. You see? So all the demigods are flying in the sky hither and thither. So they came to Brahma and said, oh Brahmaji, what's happening? We are afraid, we are worried. Brahma said, your anxiety is no surprise to me. Because material world is equal to anxiety. If you are in material world, there will be anxieties. You only have one choice. Whether you want this anxiety or that anxiety. Whether you want a pinprick or a pinch, you decide. You have only that much choice you have. Isn't it? Whether you want a neem fruit or a Kerala juice. Between the two you have to choose. So, intelligence means to quit this world and go back to the spiritual world, kingdom of God. So, Brahma spoke about kingdom of God elaborately. Very, very beautiful verses. How spiritual world is such a beautiful place and Lord is the center and everybody wants to serve the Lord. And there is no voltage, no disease, no death. What a wonderful atmosphere in the spiritual world. So he is telling all the demigods, one should cultivate aspiration to return back to the spiritual sky, which is called Vaikuntha, he says. No place of no anxiety. So the highlight of this verse is actually penance. Foolish human beings who do not endeavor to investigate the supreme beauty and opulence of the Lord are here condemned by Brahma. It is imperative that every human being try for such knowledge. And if anyone does not do so, his life is spoiled. Anything that is beautiful and opulent in the material sense is enjoyed by those living entities who are like crows. Crows always engage in picking at rejected garbage, whereas the white ducks do not mix with the crows. Rather, they take pleasure in transparent lakes with lotus flowers, surrounded by beautiful orchards. Both crows and ducks are undoubtedly birds by birth, but they are not of the same feather. So, what is crow class that is being explained here? Like, you know, when we are living our life in the outside world, before becoming devotees, we have experience. Like, there is fascination for, you know, the heroes and heroines of the material world. Like, you see Mad Monkey Kung Fu or Bruce Lee. People want to learn some judo and self-defense techniques. Because when you are young, you think, I am the body. So you want to learn such a self-defense, nobody can attack you. And you can punch anybody on the nose. So, yeah, people are fascinated by that. Are they attracted to the heroes and heroines of this world? They put posters and pictures and keep and everything like that. So, they are attracted to rock music, discotheque dances, and fancy dress competitions. And you see, every college has got an elaborate celebration. Like in IIT, we used to have this Mood Indigo. Similarly, some college has an Odyssey. Different kinds of 10-day, 15-day festival. You go and see what are the activities there. That is what crow class is saying here. That is what is crow class. Because there is no substance to it. There is not one word spoken about soul or God or the meaning of life. What is reality? It's all grand, elaborate exposure of illusion. That's all. There is nothing there, no substance there. It is all an ego play, ego game. Because I have seen it in my college days. You know, boys want to impress the girls and girls want to impress the boys. That is the central theme of such fascinations. Yeah. Every song people sing, every dance they do, every sports game they play, the goal is to impress the opposite sex. Actually, don't think it's only in human society. In birds also. Like one time, an elephant, you know elephants? Elephant would walk. And sometimes a big tree, it puts its trunk like this, you know? Like that. It can completely uproot a tree. And then throw it on the side. And then look here. Yeah. And then if some female elephant is watching, he'll have a big smile on his face. Yes. And then he'll say, wait, one more. Yeah, you'll see that. Yeah, you can see that. Animals have the same thing. See, animals may not understand A, B, C and all, but this they understand. You see? Impressing. Impressing opposites, understand, yeah? But what is this elephant? He looks so gigantic and so powerful. But you can see a small boy sitting on the top of the elephant's head. He's taking a stick, he can control the elephant. And the elephant will be walking, you see? Walking, you know? And then picking up logs of wood and transporting and all that. But if he wants, he can take his trunk and bring that boy down and smash him to ground in a moment. But as soon as he sees a small ankush, the stick, he becomes afraid. That is his foolishness, you see. So, we can see in this world, people are very proud that I can do this, I can do that, I can impress so many people, so many women. But they are controlled by their own ego. Their own false ego, you can see that. They are simply play toys in the hands of their false ego. In the whole world, everywhere. That is illusion all about. Actually, they are internally kokla, hollow, but externally smiling. That is why Chaitanya wrote that article, Smiling Faces, Crying Hearts. It's a beautiful article. The whole world, material world is about this only. That is why that 5 paisa story is said, 5 paisa circus. Isn't it? This fellow got such good beating inside. When he came out, you know, he put his kurta and everything properly. He just smiled. Why? Because he thought, why should I only suffer? Every fellow should go in. So, that's why here he is saying, this is crow enjoyment. Refused remnants of sensuous topics, Prabhupada is saying. Refused remnants of? Sensuous. See, refused remnants of sensuous topics. Which cinema actor got married to which cinema actress? Is it such an important thing? You know, they divorced 10 times. Like in America, one actress divorced her husband and married another one. So 10 times she took divorce, out of which 3 times she married the same man. And why should such message be so important for the living entities? What are they going to do with that? These are all fallible heroes and heroines. But people are so, honestly we have to say, before coming to Krishna consciousness, you know, we were also attracted to such things. We read cinema magazine, you know, you sing so many cinema songs, you know, you go to this movie, that movie, some movie you want to watch it 10 times. Sometimes people discuss among themselves, how many times you watched? You watched 10 times, I watched 12 times, you know. They are proud that I have seen so many times. It's a colossal waste of time. So much energy, so much time. Prabhupada says, the human energy should never be spoiled. It should be utilized in the right direction. So, the real hero is Radha and Krishna, real hero and heroine. And their romance is the supreme romance, unending romance. It's an unending dance. So, it's called as endless love. Endless love means the love that never ends. Not like the love of the world, you know. This world, people say, you know, he is my lover, she is my lover, and after the marriage, they become like cat and rat. Isn't it? Or sometimes, you know, they change their lovers 5 times. So Ravindra Swarup wrote the book, Endless Love. It's a very beautiful title. It's Endless Love. So Brahma, through penance, achieved the spiritual realization. And having achieved the realization, his heart is becoming filled with compassion for all other living beings who lack that realization. And actually, why a very advanced soul feels compassion? They feel that the living entity is chasing after the glittering illusion foolishly. If only they can know Krishna, how wonderful he is, how happy they can become. So that is his compassion. So he feels, when Prabhupada saw America, you know, with all people running here and there, and the night, you know, thousands of light bulbs on, Prabhupada saw the fast-paced life in America and he was feeling very sorry. When he was entering America, in the Boston Harbor, he wrote that poem. So he was speaking to Krishna, my dear Lord, how am I going to, you know, preach to these people who have no interest? They are all absorbed in passionate activities. They are absorbed in passion and ignorance. But your message is so beautiful in Bhagavatam, it can enter into their ears and hearts and transform them, if you wish so. I have no ability. You may be able to do that. Maybe your holy name, but I have great faith in your holy name, he said. I have faith that your holy name can clean their hearts. You see, when you clean the heart, the hankering for material enjoyment is finished. And the heart is cleaned. What is the meaning that hankering is finished? That means, you know, you will never look at a material object with a desire to enjoy. All of you think for a minute. Some of you might have been eating meat before. Now you pass through a shop where meat is hanging. Do you look at it with a desire to enjoy? That means, you know, you have completely vanquished that desire. Isn't it? Or sometimes you are very fond of bhaji. When you are going in the train, some bhaji is passing by. Smell is coming. Oh, I am Hare Krishna, I cannot eat this bhaji. But still desire to eat is there. You tolerate the temptation, vada pav, bhaji and all that. Isn't it? But eventually the desire also will be gone. You will understand that this appears very attractive, but what is it? It is sinful food, unoffered. There is one verse which says, the food which is unoffered is equal to mutram. What is that? Anybody knows that verse? No, the water that is, yeah, you know, anybody knows that verse? I'll try to recollect it. Anaivedyam, you know, annam, something like that. Annam vishtam, it says vishtam. Similarly, the unoffered liquids are equal to mutra, like that. That's one Puranic verse, not mine. Yeah, that's a, yeah. So that means one should see unoffered food like stool. And who will want to eat stool? If you see stool, you will turn your face away, plugging your nose. Like that, unoffered food should be seen with great fear. So I'm just giving an example. Whatever is the food for the crows, the swans will never even look at it. Like that. So Prabhupada elevated. Prabhupada said, I have come to America to convert the crow class into swan class. And Prabhupada said, Indians are new crows, he said. Because new crows are very enthusiastic for digging out the garbage term. Actually, Indians have loyalty and Indians have ability to perform penance. But they are going to America and with folded palms they are serving the materialists. They are willing to work hard day and night. And Americans know Indians are cheap labor. Boys, girls, everybody is going flying to America. You go in American plane, you will see so many boys, girls. They are migrating in a large scale from India. There is a brain drain. The intelligentsia of India is all going to West. Because the FC class people are not given so much chances in India. So they go to the West, make a lot of money, take a green card and practically settle there. And their children and grandchildren will not even know who is Ram, who is Krishna. They will not know. And these people are going. And money is honey. They are running to the West. You see that. And Prabhupada called them new crows. Why? Because the old crows have become tired of the garbage dump, at least. But new crows are very enthusiastic. In fact, they are calling the old crows, come and try, it's very wonderful. They are telling them also. Very unfortunate. So, yeah, it is Prabhupada's desire that we take the austerity ability of Indian bodies and engage it in Krishna's service. Tapo Divyam. When you do tapo divyam, what happens? Shuddhyed. Then the heart becomes cleansed. And then sattvam. One comes to the sattva guna. Shuddhyed. Sattvam shuddhyed yasmat brahma saukyam to anantam. One will get happiness that is unending. What is the proof? You will never give up. Krishna's lotus of faith. Dautatma purusha krishna padamulam namanchati. You will see a devotee. The more he spends years in Krishna consciousness with sincerity, they will become more enthusiastic. They will become more charged, more powerful. See Srila Prabhupada, 40 years of life in preparation. Then when he went to the West, what was his age and how enthusiastic he was, you see. So, that is the Brahma Saukyam to Anantam. Unending bliss, which is also not only unending, it is ever expanding also. Ananda Ambudi Vardhanam also. Whereas material life, you will see, people are enthusiastic in the beginning and they accumulate. Like you see, this Aga is our Thermax. He died in a car accident. Isn't it? Similarly you find so many of them, they accumulate and one day they die, finish, their body is taken to a graveyard. What did they do? What is that soul carrying with him? All the accumulated things is left behind. One car accident, finished. Everything. Big Anil Ambani brothers, quarrel among the family members, peace of mind is lost. So either you are living and you are quarreling and peace of mind is lost, or you die and leave everything behind and go, we don't carry. So devotee means is be intelligent to always remember the temporary nature of the material world and prepare oneself for going back to Godhead. So we have begun this new chapter of Brahma, having performed penance. He has got the fruit of his penance, which is now the deep realization of Krishna. He is actually relishing that realization. And he is also sharing with all living entities. And is feeling sorry for the living entities who are running away from Krishna in the name of enjoying material illusion. Very beautiful verse. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.